I'm so excited you're here. Before we get into the message, I want to just acknowledge that on Monday, we have a very important holiday, Veterans Day, and I want to acknowledge every single veteran we have on every one of our campuses, because listen, the reason we get to gather here today, the reason we have the freedom to do that is really one reason is because of you. And so can we, across all of our campuses, can we celebrate every single veteran at CCV here this weekend? Love you guys. We honor you. Yeah. We love our veterans. If you're a veteran, we just honor you this weekend. Well, this weekend, we also kick off a brand new series, 4 weeks, that we're going to be speaking on something. It's called Wind and Fire is the series name. And what we're going to speak about for the next 4 weeks is really maybe one of the most epic bands of all time, Earth, Wind, and Fire, right? I'm joking, okay. What are we talking about? We're talking about the Holy Spirit, all right? And one of the reasons that we titled this series Wind and Fire is because when you read Scripture, these are two word pictures we get of the Holy Spirit. For example, in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit comes for the very first time, Jesus has just died, he rises again, and he tells his disciples, don't you lift a finger to do anything great in my name in this world until you've received the Holy Spirit. So they're waiting, they're in the upper room, and when the Holy Spirit descends for the very first time on the disciples, it says the Holy Spirit came like a rushing wind and like fire resting over their heads, which some of us are like, well, that's weird. But if you think about it, you know, I think God gave us these analogies of wind and fire very specifically. Think about what we know about fire. You can be next to a fire. You don't have to touch the fire to feel its presence and to feel its power. And wind is one of my favorite analogies we get, because think about wind for just a moment. Wind is one of the only things, I mean, I could even think of, it's one of the only things that's not tangible. We can't see it with our eyes. We can't grab hold of it, and yet we undeniably know it's there. We can see the impact of the wind, but we can't see the wind. And while those are great word pictures for us, here's what else I know. For most of us, the Holy Spirit is mysterious and very misunderstood. And for a lot of us, it's because of our church background. You know, if I was just gonna tell you my church background, I grew up in a church where I thought maybe the Trinity was, you know, God, Jesus, and the Holy Bible. I mean, we just didn't talk about the Holy Spirit very much. We just didn't. And, you know, I knew the Holy Spirit was there, but I kind of knew it was there, kind of like I knew I had a cerebral cortex, you know? It's like I'm appreciative for it. I'm thankful. I know it does something great, but I don't even know what. I just didn't understand it. Maybe that's how you grew up. On the flip side, some of us grew up in church environments where the Holy Spirit, if we were honest, was kind of the star of the show. You know, God and Jesus kind of, you know, they're good and all, but the Holy Spirit took center stage like every single weekend. And maybe it just got overemphasized, if we were honest. Maybe got a little weird on occasion. But for a lot of us, you know what is true? Neither of those situations, because we didn't grow up in church. If you didn't grow up in church, when we start talking about the Holy Spirit, it's kind of like, well, it's just mysterious. I mean, if I was going to ask you, no matter who you are, and no matter how long you've been in church, if you looked at God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, how many of you would raise your hands right now and say, the one of the three out of the Trinity, that's what it's called, that I know the best, the one I understand the best is the Holy Spirit. Just raise your hand if that's you. I wouldn't raise my hand, okay? Because I still feel like I'm learning about the Holy Spirit. But here's what's just so interesting to me. If you got stranded on a desert island tomorrow, and the only single book you had was the Bible, and you read it through, specifically the New Testament, and you just have anyone there, maybe it was the first time you've ever read through the New Testament, when you got done with the New Testament, you know what one of your biggest questions would be? Who is the Holy Spirit, and how on earth do I get this power and this presence in my own life? That's how powerful the Holy Spirit was when the church launched and in Christianity. Think about this way. Nothing happened in the early church. All the miracles, all the epic things that happened in the early church, it happened because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And so what we want to do in this series is I don't want you to just understand the Holy Spirit better. That's one good thing. I want you to be able to experience the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit at a whole different level. Wind and fire. You know, starting at the basics, when you look in Scripture, there's really two words, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament, that are used for Spirit. Let me just show you them real quick. The Old Testament word used for Spirit most often is the word ruah. The C is kind of silent. Okay, the New Testament word used for Spirit most often is pneuma, the P silent. Now, the words don't matter as much, as the reason I wanted to show you those words is they have one thing in common. Both these words have at their root wind. That's kind of the root word with both of them. And I think this analogy of wind is really, really powerful, and here's why. Just imagine for a moment that your life is like a sailboat. I mean, just imagine, you know, you work so hard to like make sure the sailboat's in tip-top shape. You know, you put everything into it. You make sure if it breaks down, you fix it. You know, you do everything to just make sure everything's pristine. You know, you talk to other sailors. You read the manual on the sailboat. I mean, everything's perfect. You ask other people, hey, what are you doing that's working and sailing? And so you do everything right. Because why? What's the point of a sailboat? It's for when you get in the open seas, this thing's gonna soar. I mean, it's gonna take off. And that's what we want in our lives, right? I mean, in our lives, we want our lives to soar. Our marriages, our finances, our family, our work. But think about this. When you put this out in the open seas, and you've worked so hard, you've done everything right, what is the only thing that matters to get this boat, sailboat, going and moving? What's the only thing? The wind. That's it. I mean, without the wind, you're going nowhere fast. And that's how some of us feel. And the interesting thing about the wind is this. We don't control the wind. No one controls the wind. I mean, Jesus even said earlier in the Gospels, he said, the wind goes where it wants. You can't control the wind. All we're trying to do is we're trying to what? Catch the wind. We're trying to harness the wind in our lives. And that's the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want for your life. It's what I want for my life. I want us to catch the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our church. So that's what we're going to really be diving into and talking about in this series. But the problem, you know what I think the problem is? The problem with most Christians is we don't have enough wind in our sails. And maybe the problem with most churches is we don't have enough wind. And that's what we want. Now let me make something clear. If you're a Christian here today, you have the gift of the Holy Spirit in you. The promise of Scripture is when you decide to follow Jesus and you're baptized, you have the Holy Spirit. I mean, think about the words of Jesus. When Jesus was leaving, he got his disciples together, and one of the things he taught them about was the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14. And one of the things he said in John chapter 14 is this, hey, don't let yourselves be troubled that I'm leaving. He's talking about leaving. Why? He says, because when I leave, I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. Now, we're going to come back to the word another, so just lodge that in your mind for just a moment. The word advocate means counselor, helper. He's speaking of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I'm going to ask the Father to give you the Holy Spirit to help you, to be with you, what? Forever. The Spirit of truth. So if you're a Christian here today, you have the full presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Now, if you're not a Christian here today, you don't have the Holy Spirit. You can feel the Holy Spirit on occasion, and I'm going to tell you why in just a moment. But even if you're a Christian here today, don't you know, I mean, we all know this, there's a big difference between having something and harnessing its power. I mean, you could have a Ferrari, and if it sits in your garage, you'll never harness the power of that. And so what do we want? We want to learn in this series, not just to understand the Holy Spirit better, we want to understand how to invite its presence and power into our life the way God always intended. So as we start the series out today, in the next 3 weeks, here's what we're going to cover. We're going to cover the promise, the presence, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Every weekend is going to be impactful. But today, I want to start off by talking to you about the one thing I think maybe keeps more Christians away from experiencing the Holy Spirit than anything else. And here's what it is if you're taking notes. We've forgotten the Holy Spirit is a person. Now, when I say the person, listen, I'm not talking about a human. I'm just saying this. Maybe this is a better way to describe it. He's personal. The Holy Spirit is personal. What if God intended for you to have him to speak into your life at such a personal way in every area of your life? I mean, every single area of your life that you need God to speak. What if he desires to speak so personally that it was exactly like Jesus standing right next to you? I mean, some of us are like, that'd be amazing. Could you imagine going throughout your day with Jesus just as your constant companion? He's right there. I mean, for some of you that are single here today, I mean, you're going on a date and you're like trying to discern, is he the one? Right, and everything's going well. I mean, he's cute, he's funny, he has a job. I mean, everything's clicking out, right? But you're just trying to discern, is this what you want for me, God? But Jesus is right there, so you look over at Jesus and you're like, what do you think? And he's like, mm-mm. Run for your life. And so you do. I mean, some of you are thinking, I needed that a long time ago, you know? Could you imagine if Jesus was right there? I mean, you know, you'd be throwing a party and you run out of wine. Or, you know, that offends some of you. Okay, you run out of Chex Mix, all right? And like, bam, Jesus refills it immediately, the wine and the Chex Mix, okay? And it's both, you know? Or you're reading your Bible and you're like, I just don't understand how that's going to apply to my life. And Jesus is right there and he helps you. That's how it applies to your life. Oh, thank you. Or man, your dog dies. Bam, Jesus raises him from the dead. You know, your cat dies. Jesus helps you dig a grave, you know? Hey, don't send me an email. That's a joke, all right? The cat joke's a joke, all right? But just come on, think with me. Could you imagine if Jesus was right there next to you all day long? Yet I want to show you what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. And this is so mind-boggling. It's just so, like, it should blow your mind to, and I think it does to an extent that I think a lot of us just blow past this verse. We almost don't even believe it. Listen to what Jesus said when he was teaching about the Holy Spirit. He says in John 16:7, but I tell you the truth, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, it's for what? Say it out loud. Your benefit. It's for your benefit that I'm going to leave and go away and leave you. Hey, Jesus, how could that be to our benefit? We got you right here. Listen to what he says. Unless I go away, the advocate, that's the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Do you understand the implications of what Jesus is saying? Jesus is telling us this. And someone needs to just kind of let this sink in today. The Holy Spirit in me is better than Jesus beside me. Let me say that again. These aren't my words. This is Jesus saying. Jesus says the Holy Spirit in you is better than Jesus beside you. And we're thinking like, how could that be? I mean, how on earth could that be? And you know why we don't think that so oftentimes? I'll tell you in a moment, but let me just say this. Some of you are thinking like, I don't even think that makes sense. But just think about it rationally for a moment. If Jesus was here physically right now, do you understand that Jesus could only be at one place at one time? I mean, you're in trouble, you need Jesus right now, and Jesus is off in Shanghai helping somebody else. You're out of luck. I mean, this happened in Scripture, right? Lazarus is sick, and she's calling for, Jesus is off in another city. But do you understand the power of what we're told in Scripture? That Jesus says, I'm going to send you someone that's just like me, and just like God, he's going to live inside you, and it's better than me being right beside you. That's the presence you're going to have of me in your lives. Think about it this way. Do you understand that now, because of the Holy Spirit, God can be with us at all places, at all times, in every single believer? I mean, that's power. It's why some of you, do you understand, even if you're not a Christian here today, do you know why you feel God's presence when you come to church? Because God's Spirit is living and breathing inside of someone maybe right next to you and all around you in our church. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And even if you're a Christian here today, you know how sometimes we feel so far away from God? And as a church, we're always telling you, get into a neighbor group. You have to be part of a neighbor group. Do you understand when you feel far from God, when you're around other followers of Jesus, do you understand that God's presence is there with you through the power of the Holy Spirit, through somebody else speaking into your life? There is so much power, but why is it that we have such a hard time believing that the Holy Spirit in us is actually better than Jesus beside us? Let me tell you why. This is the big idea I need you to like let sink into your heart today and mind today. Here it is. Our tendency is to think of the Holy Spirit as an it, not a who. This is what we do. Because the Holy Spirit's kind of a little mysterious, we think, well, the Holy Spirit's like out there. He's like a essence or a feeling or just, it's an it, not a who. And as long as you miss out on the fact that the Holy Spirit is personal, just like Jesus next to you, you're gonna miss out on the power and presence and promptings of God in your life. Let me quickly tell you a few reasons that we know the Holy Spirit is personal. One would be this. Remember this verse we looked at, John 14:16? Jesus said, and I will ask the Father and he'll send. Remember I told you we're gonna come back to it, this word another? There's two words that can be interpreted another in scripture, and one of them is theos, which is something that's similar, but not so much. The other is allos, which means something that's the same. You know what word Jesus used? The same. I'm gonna bring something into your life that is the same, just like me, the same. Now let me answer kind of the age-old question that all of us have when we start talking about the Holy Spirit. And we start talking about the Trinity, when God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And we think to ourselves, how can they be all separate but the same? And there's been so many analogies that have been used over the decades. You know, one analogy that gets used a lot is water. Well, maybe, you know, the Trinity's like God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit's like water. One of them's, you know, liquid, one of them's solid form, and one of them's steam, but they're all H2O. Or the other one that gets thrown out is maybe like it's like an egg. You know, one's the yolk, one's the white, one's the shell, but they all make up the egg. And I just want you to know that I think all those analogies break down at some point. And here's why. Because we're told throughout Scripture that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are all the same, but all unique. And some of you are thinking right now, you got to help me with that. Like, give me something, and I will, okay? When I was in Bible college, I had a Bible college professor that just, he gave us the perfect explanation that made 100%. It made so much sense. The problem is I didn't write it down that day, and so I'm not gonna be able to share that with you today, okay? So, no, what I wanna say is this. I want someone to hear this. I don't think we should get so wrapped up with trying to explain the Trinity. And here's why. I don't think an infinite God can ever be fully explained by finite beings. And I'm not sure this side of heaven, we're really gonna, you know, think about that. We're finite. God's ways are so much bigger than ours. I don't think we're going to be able to fully understand God this side of heaven. But listen, we don't believe in the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, these three. We don't believe in them because we can explain them. We believe because they're revealed to us by God. And what I believe with everything inside me, and this is why it's so important that you don't get so hung up on trying to understand it. What I believe with everything inside me is God doesn't need us to explain him. He wants us to experience him. And I don't think you can fully experience all the power and presence that God wants in your life until you understand how personal the Holy Spirit is. Let me tell you two of the reasons we know the Holy Spirit's personal. One is Scripture tells us the Holy Spirit can be lied to. You ever tried to lie to an it? And watch this. In Acts chapter 5, it says, then Peter said to Ananias, you've what? Lied to the Holy Spirit. I mean, you lie to a person, not an it. Watch this. The Scripture also tells us that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can, you know, other translations say you can make the Holy Spirit have sorrow. Watch what it says in Ephesians chapter 4. Paul says, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. I mean, you ever lied to or made you know, grieved, an it. No, we do that to, I mean, think about this. I mean, give you an example in your own life. Let's say this past week, you know, you promised that you were going to clean your house. You know, your living room's a mess. You're like, I'm going to clean the living room, I promise, by Friday. And then Saturday rolls around, you wake up, you walk into your living room, it's still a mess, and you're just like, you start apologizing to your house. I am so sorry. I lied to you. And I know you're grieving right now. No, we never do that, right? Because you don't lie and grieve to an it. It's a person. The Holy Spirit is personal. Do you hear what I'm saying? I mean, it's sinking into anybody. Until you understand that the Holy Spirit is personal in your life, you're going to miss out on the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And I just know that if I was transparent, I mean, for much of my life, that I really feel like I've missed out on how personal the Holy Spirit is, how he wants to speak into my life. So here's what I want to ask that you wrestle with, that you know, I'm wrestling with as well, is this, is how would your relationship with God change if you saw the Holy Spirit in you the same as Jesus beside you? Like, what would change in your life if you actually saw the Holy Spirit as personal as Jesus right next to you? You know what I think would change? You would begin to hear God's voice and his direction into your life at a level that you've never experienced before. And here's kind of the main point that I want to kind of drive home today. If the Holy Spirit isn't personal, you'll miss his promptings in your life. You will. You'll just miss out on what God wants to speak into every area of your life. I mean, think about this. You don't walk around listening to air or trees or rocks. That's an it. You listen to people, someone that it's personal. And that's how God wants to speak. It's all throughout Scripture. And if I was just being honest and transparent today, you know, thinking about hearing from the Holy Spirit, that sounds a little weird, doesn't it? I mean, if we can just be honest, it's like, hearing from the Holy Spirit? Like, I don't even know how I do that. Yet Jesus says we can. Let me show you a few examples in Scripture. John 16:13, this is Jesus. Jesus said the Spirit will guide you. The Spirit's going to actually guide you if you'd allow it to. Watch this. In Luke chapter 2, verse 27, it says Simon was moved by the Spirit. He was moved to go do something for the Spirit. And watch this. Paul, in Acts 20:22, says Paul was compelled by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. Man, could you imagine if, like, you heard from God and you knew exactly where you were supposed to go, what you were supposed to do, you felt that compelled? And here's what some of you are thinking right now, and I think this is an awesome thought. It's a great question. You're thinking this. Ashley, how would I know if it was a prompting from God or just a bad burrito? Or worse, hey, how about this? How would I know if it was a prompting from God's Holy Spirit? Or worse, maybe Satan prompting me? Like, how am I supposed to know the difference? And I think that is the question, by the way. And let me just give you three ways that I think you can know without a shadow of a doubt that this is God's Holy Spirit prompting you versus something else weird or dangerous prompting you. Here's number one. Being prompted by the Holy Spirit will never contradict God's word, ever. It's why you should know God's word. And let me take it a step further. Being prompted by the Holy Spirit won't contradict God's word, a godly spouse, and the other godly people speaking into your life. It will not. I've heard people say before, well, I just felt led into this affair. That wasn't God, it's Holy Spirit prompting you. That was you. Let me tell you a second reason we can discern if this is God's promptings, Holy Spirit. Being prompted by the Holy Spirit will never be purely selfish. I mean, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. So understand, there's going to be times you're prompted by the Holy Spirit. You're going to benefit from you. I mean, from it. God loves you. But if it is purely, purely selfish, it's likely not the promptings of the Holy Spirit. You need to think about that. Here's number three. Being prompted by the Holy Spirit will usually cost you something. You're being prompted by the Holy Spirit. And remember, God wants your life to make a difference for others, not just for you. So it's going to cost you something as you feel prompted, maybe to reach out and invite someone to church. Well, that's going to cost you some of your confidence. You have to give your confidence to go do that. Like, God, you're prompting me to do this. Or, hey, it might cost you financially. You feel prompted, and God's going to prompt you to go make a difference in this world and in his local church. You might feel prompted, you know, and have to give up some time when God prompts you. Well, I want to do what I want to do. God's like, no, I want you to live according to my promptings and my timing. But just understand, these are ways that we can know that God's prompting us. It's not just, you know, something else weird out there. And hear me. I felt God prompting me throughout my life. Now, I think there's more times that I've missed it than I've got it. But when I say God's promptings, here's what I'm not saying. I don't hear God's audible voice. I don't get a letter in the mail from God, okay? When I say promptings, I mean you feel prompted. Like there's a feeling you just can't get out of your heart and soul. Or there's a thought that you just can't get out of there. It's like you just feel like you're being prompted by God. And instead of me trying to get super technical and try to explain what that might look like, I thought I'd just tell you a few stories from my own life of how I've felt prompted by God. And remember, I think I've missed more than I've ever listened. I'm still growing and learning in this area. But let me tell you a few. One would be, there's oftentimes I'm praying and asking God, what should I teach on in the next year? What kind of series do you want? And I feel like a strong prompting from God on certain things. Like, for example, this year, I felt like just this unbelievable prompting from God. We have to talk about anxiety. I felt that. And you know, earlier in this year, if you were here at CCV, we did a series called Anxious for Nothing. And it was this really powerful move of God. And if you weren't here, I'd encourage you to go back and really listen to that series. But I feel God prompting in that way. I feel God prompting in ways to, like, pray for people. I mean, earlier this year, our family was at Carrabba's Italian Grill, which we never go to, by the way. We got a gift card from someone, and we went, and we're sitting down, and we have this server named Therese, and for whatever reason, I just kind of felt like God was, like, prompting me, you got to pray for her. And this is when we start arguing with God, right? We're like, God, that's going to be a little weird, okay? I need to pray for you. I mean, there's ways we can do it. So I just kind of, you know, when she came up, I just said, hey, Therese, is there anything our family can do? Can we pray for you about anything? And you should have seen her face as it changed, and she began to just describe how she's going through one of the darkest seasons in her entire life. And so we prayed for her, and we thought nothing else of it, and we just kind of moved on. In September of this year, I got an email from her mom, who lives in California, and she went to all the trouble of tracking down my email, and she just said, you have no idea how that impacted my daughter. And she's come to CCV, and she just really, it was a dark season, and it was just your encouragement, your family. That's just the promptings of God. It's just listening to the promptings of God. There's been multiple times throughout our marriage that Jamie and I felt prompted to give sacrificially. And I mean sacrificially. I mean, we tithe and above the tithe, but we just felt prompted to give. On two separate occasions, we felt prompted to give our car away to another family. And listen, we didn't have a backup plan. We didn't have an extra car. We didn't have extra finances to get another car. We just felt prompted by God to give. And in both those instances, I'm just telling you that when you feel prompted by God and you obey, God miraculously still provided for our families. But the story that I couldn't get out of my mind this past week when I was thinking about just listening to the promptings of God was a story about my childhood friend Kevin. Kevin and I went to high school together and we're really good friends. And when we graduated high school, we kind of just lost touch with each other. And you know, we just kind of go your separate ways. And it had been 15 years. I had not talked to Kevin in 15 years. And I was sitting down at home one day, and I think it was maybe just in my quiet time, just kind of with God. And I just felt this prompting, like, you got to reach out to Kevin. And I'm thinking, God, it's been 15 years. Like, that's weird. Is this a bad burrito? Like, what did I eat? Like, what is going on? You know, and I just felt, and remember, this is 15 years ago. There's no social media. I didn't have his cell phone. I didn't have his email. I mean, how am I going to track this guy down? And I just felt like, God, if that's your prompting, I better obey. So I literally spent a whole week trying to track down Kevin's cell phone number. I had to reach out to this person, to this person, to this person. It took me a whole week to finally get his cell phone number. And when I finally did, I remember it like it was yesterday. I dialed his cell phone number, and I called, and you know what happened miraculously? I got his voicemail. And I left Kevin a voicemail. I was like, hey, Kevin, hey, call me back. I really want to talk to you, man. Please call me back. And then you know what happened miraculously? Nothing. Didn't call me back at all. And then I was thinking, God, yeah, that was a bad meal or something, right? Nothing happened. It was about 5 years later that I randomly intersected with Kevin. He said, Ashley, you remember that phone call? I'm thinking like, oh, what phone call? Yeah, of course I remember that phone call, man. I would track down your number for like a week. He's like, I'm sorry I didn't call you back, but I need to tell you about that. When you called, I was at a coffee shop. My wife had just left me the night before. My whole life was falling apart. And I was contemplating taking my own life. And I looked down at my phone, and it was you. It was God. I felt like telling me, Kevin, I still care about you. I love you. So I'm sorry I didn't call you back. I was a mess. But that phone call means more than you could ever imagine. And listen, the reason I'm getting a little emotional is because, do you understand what hung in the balance? If I don't listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit? I mean, God wants to use our lives to make a difference. And yet so many times we miss the promptings because we don't think God's that personal. We think that's weird. That's just a thought. That's nothing. Earlier this year, I felt the same prompting. You gotta reach out, through a series of events, you gotta reach out to Kevin. So I texted Kevin. Hey, Kevin, I want to, you know, we kind of loosely stayed in contact and texted Kevin, and you want to know he texted me back? He said this. I won't read you the whole text, but this is the actual text. He said, you know, it seems like you get a hold of me every time my life is in the gutter. You have a sixth sense, good sir. And here's what I thought. I don't have a sixth sense. I'm just trying to listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And Kevin, if you're watching this, because I know you are, God's after you. And God has a great plan for your life. And I believe God's Holy Spirit wants to transform your life. And by the way, I'm not just talking to Kevin. I'm talking to someone else here today. That you have to start listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. There's so much at stake. Our life is short. Remember, if I went back to this ship, remember what you want? You want this thing to take off. You know what most of us feel right now? We feel like the ship's sinking. The ship's wobbly. It's not going anywhere. And what I just want to tell you is this. The thing that matters in your life is catching the wind. You don't control it. You can only catch it. And as we start this series, I want to tell you that you have to begin viewing the Holy Spirit as personal, just like Jesus right next to you, or you're going to miss the Holy Spirit's promptings. So here's the takeaway today. It's going to be very, very simple, okay? I'm going to ask you to say a prayer. Some of you thinking, a prayer? Really? Yeah. To start listening to the Holy Spirit, I want you to say a prayer this week, every single day. Here's what I want you to pray. God, help me hear your promptings this week and act on them. It's a simple prayer. Show me how personal you are, God. If you would pray that prayer, here's what I know would happen. Because you have a God that wants to speak into your life. Trust me, he wants to speak into your life more than you want to hear him. If you'd pray that prayer this week, you would see God start speaking and moving in a way that you've never experienced before. If you listen to his promptings and then act. You can't just listen and then do nothing. You have to listen and act. How's God going to prompt you this week? I don't know. But I know he will. He might prompt you to give. He might prompt you to invite someone to church that you've been holding off for a while, and you're finally like, oh, is that just, yep, that's God speaking. He might prompt you to finally lay down your agenda at work. He might prompt you to forgive. He might prompt you to forgive your wife finally, to forgive your husband, and to release the pride. He might prompt you to do something big with your life, to move in a certain direction. I don't know how God's gonna prompt you. I can just promise you this. If you pray that prayer every day, God's gonna prompt you in a way, and you're gonna see him move like never before. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. And when I read in John chapter 16 that God, when you say it's better that you leave so we can have the Holy Spirit, I mean, that just strikes me as you want to be so personal in our lives more than we could ever imagine. And for those of us that have struggled with the Holy Spirit, just kind of thinking it's an it or an essence or just kind of out there, would today be a day that we realize, God, you're personal. You are there. For those of us that are followers of Jesus, you are in us and you want to move in us. Would we start listening to your Holy Spirit? Father, I want to pray very specifically today for the man or woman that's here today that's not a follower of Jesus. They've never gone all in. They've never been baptized. I pray that in the midst of our church and them feeling the presence of your Holy Spirit right now, would you prompt them to go all in with their lives for you? That could be the most important thing that happens this weekend, God, is you getting a hold of someone's heart and wanting to move in their life like never before. But for all of us, Father, we just pray as we pray this prayer, would you prompt us, would we act, and would we see you move? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, next week we're going to continue the series. I can't wait to speak next week. We're going to speak on the promise of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you three promises the Holy Spirit's going to give you. I'll see you back then. Until then, go make a difference, CCB. Love you.